Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Part of the issue when this was first being reported on and discussed, then-President Trump and Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, both suggested they had seen evidence that this was formed in a lab, and they also suggested it was not released on purpose, but they refused to release the evidence showing what it was.
Let's not play the blame game.
The government of Thailand contacted the CDC and Tony Fauci's office to say that its intel service had picked up biological anomalies around the lab in Wuhan. In other words, there had been a leak.
Very interesting, but thoroughly supercilious.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Because it comes down to our behavior. You tell me how you act and what you do, and I'll tell you your likelihood of catching COVID.
Can you stop yelling at me, please?
No, I can't stop yelling, because that's how I talk.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. As of Monday, yesterday, in Maine, Governor Janet Mills lifted the mask requirement for most indoor gatherings. So yesterday, several state reps from Maine, six Republicans and one Libertarian entered the state house in Augusta without masks. And so this has become a big tempest in a teapot. So the state reps, the six Republicans and one Libertarian, have now been stripped of their committee assignments by House Speaker Ryan Fecteau, who is, of course, a Democrat. And I guess they were stopped from even going into the building. But anyway, we are joined now by one of the seven representatives, and it's Heidi Sampson. She's from Alfred in York County. And thanks for being with us, Representative Sampson.
Thank you, Howie, for having me.
What happened? Tell us what happened.
Well, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Essentially, Monday was Happy Mask Free Day in
right.
Maine.
We're looking forward to it on Saturday here. Yes.
So there were several of us that, we were excited about that. And that means we can go into the state house and we don't need to wear masks because the science says we don't have to. And we have spent 14 months listening to follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. But when the science doesn't work in favor of their dictatorial, oppressive agenda, then we have to now impose rules that you have to follow or you will lose your committee assignment, which we didn't know going into it that was going to happen, but we figured there were going to be some kind of repercussions. So We went into the Capitol, a group of us, and we were all, I go there every morning. I'm there, 9 o'clock, we have committee, and it is on Zoom, but we're doing it at the State House because I figure that's where we're supposed to be, and that's where, I can still meet with constituents and things.
Right.
So we went in, and we were stopped by the Capitol Police. And I find it ironic that the Capitol Police, this Democrat party that is in charge in Maine, has all kinds of bills in to defund the police. But guess who's now in front of us when we come in and they stop us? And they're doing their job. And we asked them some questions, and clearly they didn't have the authority above them. We wanted to know specific answers to questions. And so they ended up getting the executive director who couldn't answer the question. And then we wanted to talk to the speaker.
Because it was his rule. It was his rule.
Exactly. So we wanted him to come down and face us like a man. Well, he didn't do that. So we decided we're just going to go in. And we did. Nobody restrained us. But the point is that if the public is allowed to walk around without masks on
right.
in the state of Maine, why are we legislators who represent the people of the state of Maine not allowed to walk around without masks on?
Right.
Because remember, the science says it's safe now.
Right. Why is the State House more dangerous than Walmart? Or Ken's Place,
question,
Ken's Place, my favorite restaurant in Maine, or Maria's in Portland. Any of my favorite, or the
place.
Sunday River Brewing. You know, all the great places.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And herein lies the charade, the irony of all of this is being exposed, and it's really laughable because. This, you know, all this time we're supposed to be bowing to the science, and we were bludgeoned with that
right
for months, and now it's just this is inconvenient truth. We just don't really want to deal with it because we can't control you guys anymore, because honestly I think it's like, oh, those Republicans, they've got cooties and we don't want them near us. It's just ridiculous. I mean, I feel like we're back in middle school. And the behavior that we're seeing.
Have any of you guys talked to the speaker about this since it happened?
No, we haven't seen him. We wanted to talk with him, and he refused to meet with us. And we got a letter last night basically stating that we were stripped of our committee assignments, and we were replaced. I was replaced on the Education Committee by a Democrat, not a Republican, a Democrat. So everyone that came in maskless have been stripped of their committees and replaced by Democrats.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, you're basically done with your legislative business for the year, though, right? What happens next year? Do you get to go back on the committee? Is your double secret probation over at the end of the year?
I don't know. That remains to be seen. I have no idea because first of all, when they had the legislative council met, they kept saying, well, what are the repercussions? What if we don't follow these rules? They couldn't say anything. They just said the Capitol Police will stop them. They'll stop this. And the Capitol Police isn't in a position to haul us off. We're autonomous legislators. We don't work for the Capitol Police. Like I stated to them, I said, I don't work for Ryan Fecteau. I don't work for the Senate president. I work for the people in my district. If they want to fire me, they can fire me in a year. Mm-hmm. And that's called an election. But until then, I don't answer to these individuals in the State House. They don't have that kind of authority over me. Yes, they do have policies that they put in place in the House for just the way, you know, for decorum and all those things. But this is absolute foolishness.
Well, let me read you what he said, this is the speaker. There are still many people among nonpartisan staff, fellow members, our guests, particularly those under the age of 12. How many people are dead under the age of 12 in Maine? I dare say zero.
And that's 99.997%.
Yeah.
That die.
And our families at home who have not been able to get vaccinated. Thus, the policy maintains the requirement for face coverings. Well, couldn't you say the same thing of everything in the state of Maine? Why isn't he going to Janet Mills and saying you should restore you should restore the masks? He's only concerned about one building in Augusta. That's it.
Exactly. And Dr. Shaw says I'm not wearing a mask in my office anymore, and he's right down the road.
Like, that's
okay,
the health director.
He's the head of the CDC.
Yeah.
He's the head of the CDC. And so, but our legislative council knows more about science, and now they're going to lord it over us. And that makes no sense. His argument, it does not pass the straight face test. It's totally illogical, and he needs to just face it. He made a bad decision. The legislative council needs to reconsider this decision and go with the science. And get off his power trip.
You think how is this playing out in the state of Maine? What are you hearing in your hometown of Alfred?
I've been swamped with positive messages. I mean, really, I mean, there's a few. They're not even my constituents that have, you know, you're an embarrassment. Like, why? Because I'm standing up for liberty? I'd rather stand up for liberty than lie down and roll over.
Yeah, I assume the people that are criticizing you are from places like Portland, right?
Probably.
I can say that because I was born there, right? But, yeah, it's, I just, I don't know. This is crazy. Has Janet Mills been asked about this? Has anybody else, has Fecteau made any statements today, the speaker?
No, he hasn't, that I know of. And Janet Mills has supposedly an open-door policy, but when we've reached out to her, we've heard crickets.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
It's real mature behavior.
Well, this is
very
just
impressive.
This is just crazy stuff. I mean, this is even crazier than what would happen at the State House in Massachusetts. You know, that's saying a lot. Although it's just, it's so ridiculous. Thank you. That's Representative Heidi Sampson. She's the Republican state rep from the town of Alfred, Maine, in the southern part of Maine, actually, in the sort of the wake part of Maine, woke part of Maine, but it's not that woke, obviously. And thank you. And I hope you get your committee assignment back. 844-500-4242. If you could support your overall cognitive health with a convenient, delicious daily chew, why wouldn't you? That's why I take Superbeats Memory and Focus Chews. It's a new product from the makers of Superbeats, and it's a cognitive chew, they call it, and it's really, really a good product. I take one in the morning now. When I wake up, it gives me a little bit of a more focus. And Grace and I were in Portsmouth last week for our remote, and one of our listeners came up to us and said, I didn't know what to think, but I ordered it, and I was really pleased. It really does make me sharper when I take it. You take two a day, just like you do with the Super Beats Chews. From the makers of Super Beats Heart Chews, Memory and Focus is their newest product to help promote brain blood flow and support your overall cognitive health. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied ingredients unique to this product, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory alertness, and helps support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health two ways: by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels of BDNF. BDNF is a key neuroprotein, and it's essential to maintaining memory, learning, and higher thinking as we age. And like other Superbeats products, Superbeats Memory and Focus was crafted under the careful guidance of scientists and features clinically studied key ingredients. It's the only cognitive chew of its kind. Support your brain and health and cognitive performance with Superbeats Memory and Focus. Take advantage of this limited time offer today. You can get a free 30-day supply of the new Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of the bag I'm holding here, Superbeats Heart Chews. Go to superbeatsradio.com/Howie. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. And you'll get a free 30-day supply of new Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on Twitter, at Howie Carr Show. You won't regret it. He's not here to make nice.
Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
The Howie Carr Show.
I'm going to start calling these seven reps, the six Republicans and the one Libertarian, the Augusta Seven. Unless I can think of a better name. But Augusta's the state capital. Joining us now on the line is another one of the Augusta Seven, and that's Sherman Hutchins from Penobscot. Sherm, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show. What the hell happened?
Well, it's like this. We showed up in the morning, and like we do many times, and five, six of us end up there at one time. And I remember stepping out of my vehicle and putting my hands in the air and saying, yay, no mask today. Because we'd heard all morning that the masks had been...
I'm looking forward to doing the same thing on Saturday morning here in the People's Republic of Massachusetts, Sherm.
Right, I can understand that. So we went in, and fortunately there was somebody in there filming it, and if there wasn't, of course, by now you would have heard about how we roughhoused people or something.
An insurrection.
Of that nature, I'm sure. But yeah, it would have been an insurrection, that's right. It's unfortunate. I personally don't think Speaker Fecteau is the driving force there. There are some unelected people in the State House that wish they were elected, that work for elected people at the top ends of the State House that like to throw a lot of weight around, and they still wanted to do that. And I think that's a big part of it. Because of bills like, I've got two coming up next week. One of them is to do away with so-called clean election, what I call taxpayer-funded money for the governor.
Right.
For the governor's position. And she's not going to use it anyway if she runs again, no more than anybody that has a chance of winning would ever use it. So it's a wasted, that's why I put that in. Another piece of legislation that is coming up next week that I put in is to return all fines and penalties that, but for COVID, would not have been.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great piece of legislation.
That did come out of committee 5-8, I think it was. All the Republicans supporting it, so we will get a chance to argue it on the
floor.
But
now you got tripped. You're not even on a committee anymore, right?
Well, Mike, it doesn't matter with me because my committee had finished its work, so we have nothing left. So it makes zero difference for me. But that wouldn't have made any difference in whether I walked in or not either, because somebody has to make a point at some point.
Well, how are your constituents reacting to this?
I had people stop me in the street today and tell me that they were very pleased to see that I was one of the six that walked in, and I think it was six, not seven. But I'm not going to, argue the point at however many it was. I just don't want to get somebody thrown off a committee that wasn't the rebel that the rest of us were.
Yeah, you know what? The Press Herald said seven, but I'm only counting six now myself. Libby. Libby, you, Johansson, Sampson, who we just had on, Lamellen, and Thorne, and then the Libertarian. So there it is, seven, I guess.
Yeah, well, maybe there is.
Yes.
It was just kind of a spontaneous thing that, and like I say, I'm awfully glad that there was a fellow that was filming it.
Were the cops rather apologetic about having to do something this silly?
Yes. Yeah, they were. They're a great bunch of people. Just fantastic. Every one of them. There's not a one of them that is, a problem to deal with down there. They go out of their way to be very nice. And in fact, the aides that came down and spoke with us were very pleasant. They didn't have much patience with us because we weren't following orders like Democrats do. If Democrats were told to do that, they would take the order. But at some point, you just have to reach a point where you send a message, in this case, to the Legislative Council that, it's time to catch up at least with the governor.
Right. Yeah, I mean, as Heidi said, you have to follow the science, right? That's what they've been drumming into all of our heads, everybody in the country for the last 14, 15 months. And now they don't care about the science.
Well, they never knew how to spell it anyway.
How many places did you stop on the way home on Monday afternoon? Tell us about that. And you didn't have to wear a mask any of those places, right?
That's right. No, I stopped at I think six different places, Home Depot, two different restaurants. I wasn't that hungry, but I picked up something for my wife at one of the restaurants, and that was all well and good. I went into a printing shop. I went into Staples, and I didn't wear a mask because you don't have to. And I got to see people smile for the first time in 14 months. What a thrill that was.
Oh, God. It sounds great. I can't wait for Saturday. I hope nothing happens to ruin our mask-free day. Sherman, we appreciate you being with us. That's Sherman Hutchins. He's another one of the Augusta Seven. Someone says we should call him the Magnificent Seven. All right. Thank you, Sherm. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Support your brain health and cognitive performance with clinically studied ingredients found only in Superbeats Memory and Focus Chews. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should the Supreme Court hear the Asian discrimination lawsuit against Harvard University?
Yes, it should.
10% say no.
All right. Okay. Paul, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Paul.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I mask thing. I went into a store today and the sign on the door said masks are optional. However, social distancing still applies, and I don't know if that's the regulation or if these people made that up.
I think they made that up on the fly. That's ridiculous. I mean, the CDC went more than a month ago from 6 feet to 3 feet, and I think a lot of the stores have taken out those stupid signs that were on the floor, you know, with your footprint saying stay 6 feet apart. I everybody's doing this on the fly, and if it doesn't go the way they want, they say, well, we're waiting to hear from the town, or if the town rules against them, we're waiting to hear from the state, or, you know, they're just doing what the hell they please. And, you know, the pushback has got to be that people stop going into these places. You know, I mean, that's the only way you can teach them a lesson at this point. And, you know, if you're in a condo and they're not opening up everything, you got to vote out the board, or, you know, if it's the city council, you got to vote out the city council. You just got to get rid of these people. Thanks for the call. 781 says New England is such a crap hole. Why are we still here? I ask myself that question a lot. Maybe not every day, but every couple of days for sure. 844-500-4242. Rich, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Howie. Rick from Middlebury, Vermont, otherwise known as Bernie Land.
Yes.
We were waiting for the governor's news conference, which happened today, and everybody was on pins and needles that he might pull all the mandates, because we are currently at 78% vaccination rate for the state.
Wow.
With a total of 255 deaths, and basically said, well, it's going to be another couple of weeks. We're going to try and get to 80%. And one of the reporters asked him and said, hey, you know, you don't think you're going to have it done by this weekend? There's restaurants that are still at 50%
seating. I know.
And curfews, you can't be open past 10 or 11 o'clock. And one of the restaurants I talked to, they said, well, we were thinking about building an extra deck outside, but with the cost of lumber now, that's five times
the
normal cost of what it was last year.
Right.
And they're not willing to release the mandate. They're pushing for another couple of weeks.
I know. I don't understand that. There are people down here, these shop owners, they're saying, well, we know it's coming to an end, but why couldn't they have let it go on for another couple of weeks? What difference is two more weeks going to make? They told us they only needed to do it for 2 weeks, and that was 15 months ago. So what makes you think it's going to end after two more weeks now? You know, it'll just be, now we got to get it to 85%. And again, I know Vermont is a small state. They only got one congressman, but 200 deaths? How many people have died of fentanyl in Vermont in the last 15 months? I'll bet it's not that much difference. Thanks for the call, Rich. 844-500-4242. We have some new sound cuts from Rand Paul. And he's, he's really paid a price here for a legislator, you know, for a senator. He's been attacked. He's been shot at. He's been menaced on the streets of Washington, D.C. I mean, he was almost killed by that nut in Kentucky, and now they're talking about sending him poison. This is This is him talking about his wife calling him when the suspicious package arrived. Cut 24.
My wife called as soon as I landed and said that she'd gotten a suspicious envelope out of the mail, and it appeared to have powder in it. As you can imagine, kind of a disconcerting message to get. And so, you know, she had washed her hands. I told her to, you know, change clothes, wash the clothes. And later on, the FBI and the sheriff's department got the material. We're able to evaluate it. And thankfully, we've now been told that it's not poisonous.
Good. But again, they're just trying to intimidate him. I mean, he had the audacity to, I guess you'd call it blasphemy against, you know, in a religious term, because Saint Anthony Fauci is a religious figure to these people. So he blasphemed him. He's a heretic. So he has to be punished. So they send him these threats. And it's going on Twitter. And again, there were apparently over the last week or so, since the violence in Gaza, there have been 17,000 hashtags that said Hitler was right on Twitter. And no one's done anything. They don't care. They don't care. Donald Trump can't get back on Twitter, but you can say Hitler was right. And Rand Paul just talks about what a sewer. The Rush Limbaugh used to call it a sewer. He was right. Cut 25.
Now, these people are trying to terrorize us, but it's not just in person. I think the people are being fomented and encouraged by Twitter. Twitter is allowing people on a daily basis by the thousands to wish that I would be assaulted, to think that it's just hilarious that I was assaulted and nearly killed by an assailant a couple of years ago, and thinking it's just, you know, great fun to encourage people to do this on Twitter. And Twitter doesn't take any of this down.
Yeah. I know, and he's not whining, unlike AOC, you know, who's talking about her post-traumatic stress disorder and she has to go to a therapist and all this because, you know, she was near an armed insurrection where nobody was armed and where people were killed. Unarmed insurrectionist who happened to be a woman who was shot down in cold blood by a Capitol police officer who they refused to identify. But this is Rand Paul talking about how he and his wife have been treated. Cut 26.
Twitter thinks it's just, these are jokes, according to Twitter, and Twitter leaves them up. But my wife and I are tired of it. And we're going to be pushing back on Twitter, and we're just tired of it. We're not going to take it anymore.
How come when I tried to post that story about the mob ties of Nancy Pelosi's late father, the mayor of Baltimore, they didn't say it was a joke. They just told me I couldn't post it. Then he goes on and starts talking about Fauci and how Fauci is. It just gets these fluffer questions from the alt-left media. Cut 27.
But he goes on these shows and they all yuck it up and laugh and laugh about how everybody's a conspiracy theory. But nobody asks him any tough questions because the left is so enthralled with all his dictates and he's become sort of this glorious purveyor of truth for the left, right, that nobody asks him any tough questions.
It's so true. Cut 28.
He lied to the American people. There was a gain of function research going on with this Dr. Shi Zengali at the Wuhan Institute. In her paper, she actually thanks Dr. Fauci and the NIAID, which is a part of NIH that Dr. Fauci runs. It's listed at the end of the paper. This paper was funded by NIAID research, and it lists a 10-digit number that identifies the research money that she got from the United States.
I'd call that a smoking gun. Cut 29.
The dam's about to burst. And I think one reason Dr. Fauci is so sensitive about this subject is he's not going to be able to escape that the NIH gave this lab money. But now it looks like there's more and more evidence that it came from the lab.
Yeah.
This is going to be a bad day for Dr. Fauci when it comes out that the virus came from the lab. We don't know yet, but if it turns out it came from the lab and we know it was funded by the NIH, this is a bad day for Dr. Fauci.
Remember, the fact checker said none of this happened a year ago. They said this was just a crackpot conspiracy theory, tinfoil nonsense. Cut 30.
Then what should the repercussions be then?
He ought to be immediately fired. He's been lying to us since the very beginning. He first said no masks work, which wasn't true.
Yeah.
Then he said all masks work, and that wasn't true either. The N95 masks work, the rest of them don't. But he's been dishonest from the very beginning. He does it, he's so-called with good intentions, noble lies, but he has been dishonest and he should be dismissed.
He should. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, good afternoon, Howie. I just have one comment to make. You know, we keep on going through this ordeal about, you know, why they keep this mask going. And all I want to say is a couple words. The mask pike. Do you remember, you know, how they
yes.
told us, you know, the mask pike was only going to be for a little while.
It was going to be for 30 years. Once they paid off the bonds that they sold to get the money to build the mask pike, they were going to rip down those toll booths. How'd that work out for you in 1988, John?
You tell me. I'm telling you, I paid my dues every time I went over the Mass Pike.
Yeah.
I paid every day, and I'm saying to myself, why? This is why, and the same thing here is that once the federal government put money into this whole system, you know, people, hospitals, nursing homes, and places like that just kept on making money off it. People made money off this.
Oh, I know.
To be made, they got to keep this ball going.
Yeah, and you know, the way they're just printing money, I mean, in spite of the fact that the economy has been decimated, and I don't think there's any question about that. It's certainly in Massachusetts with the third highest death rate, highest unemployment rate for several months last year. At one point, the highest nursing home death rates, one out of every nursing home resident's dead in the Commonwealth. It devastated the state, but the state is rolling in money. It's all this cash from the government, from the feds, that's been printed. I mean, you know, it's like a sugar high. You know, it's not good. It's going to come back to haunt us. And that's why, you know, Charlie Baker, oh, let's just keep the money flowing, keep the $300 a week coming so everybody can have the summer off. And then the Republicans in the legislature saying, well, let's give them $1,200 if they get off the sugar. So what kind of society can you have where you're paying people to work and you're paying people not to work? I mean, this is not going to end well. 844-500-4242. Limerick guy says, I'm so happy those seven reps took a stand to expose this mask charade. Yeah, exactly. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Howie Carr is back.
Ah, the Magnificent Seven. There it is. Someone wants to know, why didn't the rest of the Republicans show up to support them? I think it was one of those days where they were just holding legislative hearings. I don't think there was like a full quorum call or, you know, legislative votes or anything like that. They were just coming into work, get some, you know, hearings done, something like that. So there weren't a bunch of them in there. 844-500-4242. By the way, it's not too late to get your $50 gift certificate, the Fun Spot, for just $25. Fun Spot is the largest arcade in the world. It's in Laconia, New Hampshire, founded in 1952. It provides quality entertainment and an atmosphere right for the whole family, and its array of fun is continually growing. 600 games, including 300 classic arcade games, a 20-lane 10-pin and candlepin bowling center, cash bingo, indoor mini golf, a restaurant, a tavern, and more. And while supplies last, you can purchase a $50 gift certificate to Fun Spot for just $25.
Plan ahead. The kids are getting out of school. You guys, you and Grace, are going to be there on June 4th. Get the kids some tokens with those gift certificates and spend the whole day at Fun Spot. There's stuff for adults there, too.
Right. And we'll be, you know, Grace and I will be giving away books and posing for pictures and everything like that. They got a restaurant, a tavern. Well, you can let the kids play whatever they want to play at the arcades. It's a great deal, and if you're in the area and for the you know, anywhere in the there may be a rainy day, even if you rent a nice cabin by a lake or whatever, And this will be a good place to go on a rainy day or any day for that matter this summer. A $50 gift certificate to Fun Spot for just $25. Go to HowieCarShow.com, HowieCarShow.com, and click on store. And there it is, Fun Spot. And while you're there, you can get a gift certificate to the Running Water campground in Twin Mountain. That's further north from Laconia, but it's a great place too. And those are $50 gift certificates for $25 as well at Cheap Bastard Deals. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Howie.
Hi.
Great to speak with you. I've been watching a lot of YouTube clips lately about older journalists like David Brinkley, Howard K. Smith, John Chancellor.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, I know they're all liberal, but do you think the bias was as bad back then as it is now?
Oh, no. No, not at all. Not at all. You know, a lot of those guys were war correspondents, and they'd been around, and they'd covered a lot of stuff, and they had to come up. You know, and like a guy like Russell Baker, you know, he started out as he was a World War II vet. He went to the Baltimore Sun, and then he became like a national correspondent. Or Tom Wicker, who were big liberal from the New York Times. He started out in my old newspaper in North Carolina. He was on the copy desk. He was a Nieman Fellow. Then he became a reporter for the New York Times. He covered the Kennedy assassination, and he got the job. I mean, what I'm saying is these guys came up through the ranks. You know, they started out, they knew how to cover a county commissioner's meeting or board of aldermen. They knew how to make the rounds of the police at midnight when the shift changed. These guys today, they're Democrat operatives. I mean, we keep going over the list. George Stephanopoulos, he's a political operative. That's how he got his job. He was never a reporter. Jake Tapper, he was a political operative for Chelsea Clinton's mother-in-law, whose husband was also a congressman who went to prison for $10 million bank fraud. Chuck Todd, he was a hack for Tom Harkin, the Stolen Valor senator from Iowa, whose wife worked for Bernie Sanders, made millions of dollars. Chuck Todd rented an apartment to Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota. I mean, that's the difference, John. In the old days, reporters, and I know I sound like an old fart when I say this, but reporters came up with the same people that they were reporting on, like, for instance, cops, firefighters, town officials, city officials. These people are all upper crust. They've never been in any kind of up by the bootstraps positions in journalism or anything else. And I think that's part of it. It's like the guy, David Rhodes or Ben Rhodes, I forget which one it was, which of the Rhodes brothers that worked for Obama said, he said they could sell anything they wanted about the Iranian nuclear deal because they were dealing with 27-year-olds who knew literally nothing about anything except political campaigns. They've never even lived outside the Beltway or New York City or maybe LA. That's the problem. I'm Howie Carr.